putting God in a box between our ears. We've been talking about not putting ourselves in a box, but being able to get outside of the box. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit, how comes to live within us and has certain fruit that came with the Holy Spirit, or I would say characteristics, okay? Characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And when talking about all of this, things that Pastor Weldon and myself have been saying is that you need to activate what you already have, or you need to release what you already have. Well, a saint in the Lord came up to me not too long ago and said, "All right, Pastor Mike, I keep hearing Pastor Weldon and you say over and over again, activate, release." And so this person says, "Well, how do you activate it?" And so I thought, you know what, that's a very good question. And sometimes maybe we take things for granted when we say something, and maybe you don't have the complete information. So today I want to do the very best that I can to talk to you on how you activate what God has given you already. And a forewarned statement is that it's not all supernatural. You have to yield, okay? Are you guys with me so far? When I say that you have to yield, that means that you have some work that you have to do as well. And this is where everybody goes, "Oh my gosh, there it goes again." You know, we live in a society where we want the easiest thing to take place in our life, correct? Yeah. Simple is easy, right? And so, so because of that, when we don't necessarily see something taking place right away or happening right away, we go to a different means, or we rely upon our own self in order to make these things happen. So scripture comes to mind where it says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You guys know the scripture? Who gives us strength? Jesus Christ. Okay, now what about the scripture that says when I am weak, who is strong? He is strong. So here's the first lesson in the process of activating something is to recognize that you have a weakness. And that is where, especially with guys, a problem starts to happen, okay? I think of myself and I think, okay, all of the life's experiences that I've gone through and different things like that, military, 82nd Airborne Division, you know, build myself up. Yeah, I'm this tough guy, blah, 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 blah. So many times, a man can get prideful, and in that pride, act as though they have no weakness whatsoever. And that's where we fall short. Because until you admit that Christ is stronger than you are, you will continue to try and do things within your own strength. And you'll say things like, "That'll never be me, I will never do it," because you've never in your own strength seen you accomplish such a thing. But that is where the good news comes in, is that when I am weak and admit it, who is strong? He is strong. And he left and gave us the exact same thing that Jesus himself had, and that was what? The Holy Spirit. Exact identical replica. And so, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you've said, "Holy Spirit, come and live within me," you have the same exact Spirit that Jesus had. In other words, God's Spirit living in you. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself because I want to explain that more in depth. But when you understand that it's not just your own self now, but there's something bigger and greater within you, that is now the very first step in starting to activate things that you have. So I want to start with some definitions, or one definition, and that is the word activate, right? Who's heard me say, or someone else say, just activate it? One? Okay. I'm always asking, I'm like, quit sitting on your hands. All right. So activate, by definition, means make something active or operative. In other words, activate means that you make it work, not something else. You activate it. Let me put it this way. To activate something is to act on what you believe. Now, let me put this in a different light. If you believe that you are worthless, you are now activating the understanding that you're worthless. And so you walk around with a worthless mindset and a worthless attitude because that is what you are acting on that you believe, because you believe that. Or if you believe that you're unforgiven or not saved, we're saved by our belief and the grace through God, right? But if you're believing you're not saved, you're walking around now like you're not saved. Or if you feel depression and you identify with, now all of a sudden, I'm depressed. I believe that I'm depressed. That is going to be the forefront focus of your mind. Are you with me? And because it's the forefront focus of your mind, you've activated the understanding and the belief that now I'm depressed. So when you activate, I'm depressed, and I'm worthless, and I'm no good, or I have anxiety, or I'll never live up to this expectation, you have now set the stage in your life to activate all of those negative, horrible things. But when you act on the belief that you're a child of God, that you're filled with the Spirit of God, that you are blessed beyond measure, that you are full of joy and full of peace. Are you with me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? You now activate that because that's your belief, and so now you live out this joyful life when others are saying, why are you so happy? There's horrible things going on, and you're going, because I activated joy in my life because God gave it to me, and that's where I'm going to be. Is any of this making any sense whatsoever? Has anybody ever had a bad day? Okay, now listen, when you have a bad day, or actually I should say when you have a bad moment, and you make that moment your whole bad day, you have a bad day, right? Because you've activated the concept or the mindset that says, oh my gosh, I'm having such a bad day because one little thing happened. Instead of getting over that, you allow that belief of that bad to manifest into this huge thing where the entire day that you've been given as a gift by God is completely ruined. Does that make sense? I'm trying to lay this out in a way so that we have an understanding. See, when I said, okay, Lord, I'm weak and I can't do this without you, I need some self-control, I activated the self-control that came with the Spirit of God within me. Do you see, in my own natural self-control, I fail every time. But in the self-control that the Lord has given me, I find success. Because I believe fully that I have the Spirit of God living in me. So the joy and the peace and the kindness that Pastor Weldon preached on, humility, boldness that comes with God's Spirit, all of those things, those characteristics, I can now activate within my life. And any time that I personally am not activating hope, but activating pity towards myself, that'll happen. But it's because I've aligned my soul with the flesh instead of my spirit with my soul. And I'll explain that a little bit in just a minute. Luke 6:45 says this, a good man out of good treasure in his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, I'm not sitting here calling anybody good or evil, but the things that we say absolutely can be good and build up, right? Whenever we prophesy and things like that, we're supposed to edify, build up the body of Christ, right? But we can also speak those things that are destructive, those not so good things, those evil things, or the evil thoughts. So where is your heart at right now is a question you have to ask yourself. Is my heart filled with the woe is me and the, oh my gosh, I'll never amount to anything? Or is your heart filled with the, wow, I serve an amazing, awesome God. I am so grateful for everything that Jesus has done for me. I am so grateful for my family, my friends, all of this. And when you start living life out of a heart of gratitude versus a heart of misery and suffering, you start to walk in a gratitude type heart, and you start to sow this gratitude and this joy, and then all of a sudden what one plants, one reaps, right? Does any of this make sense? Yeah. Just trying to get this to line up, okay? As we go on, we look at the Philippians 4:9. Now, Philippians 4:8, which is a scripture I quote all the time, I absolutely love, 4:8 is the one that talks about what we should think on, right? It talks about anything of good report, anything trustworthy, noteworthy, anything with virtue, anything worth thinking on that's good, meditate on that. Think on that. But then verse 9 goes on to say this, and this is the part of activating things in our lives. Paul speaking to the Philippians, and he says, verse 9, keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. This is Paul speaking to them. Everything that you're seeing and hearing, I want you to put that into practice. Not the junk, but the good, the glory of God, the grace of God, the understanding of who you are in God. Put that into practice. Activate, in other words, act on what you believe, what he is saying right here, and everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace, the God of peace will be with you. Who wants peace? Wow. So isn't it really cool that if you start to think on those things that are good, just, right, and noble, when you start to act on or the belief that you are God's child, all of a sudden the God of peace is with you? Remember, I've said this before. Two things that I pray for most with individuals, whether it's because somebody passed away or they're just going through an issue, is that they would be comforted and have peace. And most of the letters, they either begin or end with, may peace and grace be multiplied to you, right? Read through the letters. Read through the epistles in the Bible. The apostles are saying, I want grace and peace to be given to you. But in order for you to have this explosion of peace and grace in your life, you need to act on or practice everything that you're hearing. I want to put it in this light, a little, my parable, okay? I want you to think of like a debit card from the bank or a credit card you may get in the mail. Are you with me? Okay, so check this out. Every time you get a debit card or a credit card, when it comes to you in the mail, there's a sticker on it. And it says, in order to activate this, you must call this number. Are you with me? Now listen, if you don't call that number, all you have is the card. So all the money that you have in your bank account with a debit card, or all the line of credit that you have, which isn't a good thing, right? Or the line of credit that you have with a credit card, none of it is available to you through that card because you haven't activated it yet. So when that sticker says, in order to activate it, you need to call this number, that sticker is what I call instructions, right? Same thing with the Word of God. Your Bible is your instruction manual. And if you don't call 1-800-JESUS-HELP-ME and submit to him, then all of those treasures, all of the benefits, all of the blessings of God, all of those things are now hindered. You've got a bank account filled. Think about this. As a believer, you have a bank account filled with the unbelievable blessings of God. But we choose not to activate it because we don't want to follow the instructions. Instead, we want to focus on all of the negative and the junk that's going on around us and then try and figure out how come my life isn't getting better. You know, so a couple weeks ago I told you that my blood pressure was through the roof, right? Those of you that were here, maybe you heard that. Through the roof. My wife says, because she loves me, thank you, Jesus. All right. She says, you need to go to the doctor right now. And I thought, okay, as an obedient husband, want to please my wife as well. And oops, yep, I was scared a little bit because it was high. I thought, I'm going to call the doctor. I called the doctor, and it just so happened that we had a storm that day, and the phones weren't ringing at the doctor's office. In other words, I actually believe that God just shut that off for me, because what happened is I said, you know what, I can't make an appointment. Because if I would have made an appointment, the doctor would have done one of two things. Remember, 28 years in the medical field myself. He would have done one of two things. He would have said, okay, let's monitor your blood pressure for a little while, and if it's still high, we'll start you on some medication. Or he would have said, you know what, your blood pressure is really high. I don't want it to continue that way. Let's start you on a small dose of medication and then continue to monitor it, and we'll see where you're at. So it would have been very, very simple in the natural to go to the doctor and get put on blood pressure medication. Are you with me? But because I believe God intervened, I couldn't make an appointment, I thought, you know what, I have a motivation now. And what is my motivation? My motivation is that at 45 years of age, I don't want to be on blood pressure medication. I don't want health problems whatsoever. And then I went, ha-ha, Lord, you gave me self-control. So let me do this. Every single day, I wake up and I go, Lord, I don't say give me self-control because he gave it to me already. We need to get this. I don't say give me self-control. I say, Lord, I thank you for the self-control that you've given me. I thank you that I can utilize it today because I'm weak, but you're strong. And I can do all things through him. So what's happened is I'm down 15 pounds. And the second day of eating right, guys, my blood pressure normalized. I've been running 120s over 80s and lower even for the past 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever since our last blood drive. Okay? Now, that's how God's designed us. But the self-control, what I want you to get out of this is the self-control within my own self, my fleshly self-control, wasn't there, okay? Because I know how to eat right, but I never activated the principle of it because it was too hard to do. Because you have to have some sort of discipline in place to eat right. He doesn't want this message to go out, right? Can you hear me? All right. That was cool. I like that. With what I've said so far, are you able, any of you able to understand where I'm going with this? Because I don't want this to be like in one ear and out the other. Because when we, as children of God, we start walking in the belief that we are his children. Can you imagine these things of his power and presence and his glory starting to manifest? Because it's not just believers, but it's actually believers manifesting and working in the actual act of believing. There's a difference. There's a difference, okay? Because I know people who believe that they can be healed, but yet they never pray for it, they never look for it, and they just continue on with the same old things that were given to them. Did you know that if you have certain illnesses, that if you just use a little bit of discipline, correlate this with your doctor so that you can come off this together, that you can actually walk out life without being on certain medications? You really could. You really could. I'm not coming against medications. I'm not coming against doctors or anything like that. But if we enact some of what the Spirit has already given us, the fullness. See, the Bible says that God has given us what? Everything that pertains to life and godliness. So we already have it. Okay. So, the book of Acts. You know the book of Acts, right? The book of Acts has its name because it is the actions of what the disciples activated in their life or what they acted on in their belief. That is why it's called the book of Acts. And so all these actions, 28 chapters of actions took place because the apostles heard from Jesus in chapter 1 who said, go to the upper room and when you're there, you'll receive power. And they saw him ascend into heaven. They went to the upper room. They received power. 120 of them in the upper room received this power of the Holy Spirit that we have, okay? And then immediately came out and they started preaching Jesus Christ, the great news, the good news, the gospel. And 3,000 were added to the church that day. And it goes from the next chapter to the next chapter of how they walked with signs and wonders that follow them. Bible says that signs and wonders will follow those who believe, right? Act on that belief. The signs and wonders follow you. And this is how the church that we know today was formed, through the disciples acting on what they believed. That's how we have this. many times things get kind of watered down because in this culture of this world, we're always trying to figure out, am I saved? 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 Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, believe you're saved. And now let's work this out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Quit. In the Bible, it says, Paul speaking, he says, you know, there's a time that you were to drink some milk, but now it's time to chew some meat, okay? Drinking the milk is still you trying to figure out whether or not you're saved and what. But let's chew on some meat, okay? Let's chew on the understanding and the idea that the Spirit of God lives in you. And everything that comes with the Spirit came to you. Pastor Weldon lays it out. You're all anointed. You just need to release the anointing. But if you don't believe you're anointed, you won't. You all have the same Holy Spirit. Everybody that's a believer, okay? Activate what it came with. If you want boldness, you've already got it. Just walk in it. If you want peace, you already got it. Just walk in it. You want patience? You don't need to pray, Lord, give me patience. You already have it. Just walk in it. Do you see what I'm saying? Love is, seems like love is a little bit easier for us to love the unlovely or whatever the case may be. And we're always trying to figure out, how do we love more? How do we love more? Well, you know what? It starts with loving yourself. Now, if you love yourself, guess what? Start believing of who you are and what you have in Christ Jesus. Man, it will transform the way you do things and how you think. I have a note for you. I got this out of my Bible, reading through the portions of Acts. And it says, the Holy Spirit's work demonstrated that Christianity was supernatural. Actually, I'm going to change the word was to is. Christianity demonstrates that the Holy Spirit, this work in Christians, is supernatural. Thus, the church became more Holy Spirit conscious than problem conscious. By faith, any believer can claim the Holy Spirit's power to do Christ's work. Notice, any believer can claim the power of the Holy Spirit to do Jesus Christ's work. And what did he come to do? He come to bring us freedom, number one, and he's told us to go and make him famous, but he came with work, and his works moved in signs and wonders, miracles were taking place through him. The love of God was spread through him. That means that you as a believer can lay hands and pray for somebody else. You ain't even got to lay hands. You can pray over the phone. Okay, I mean, if the clothes or cloths from Paul and Peter and all could heal people as they walked by, could they not heal over the phone waves? I'm just saying, there's so much capability and possibility that we have through Christ Jesus. We overlook it. We overlook it. I've got the power. So, this is the closing area for me. The Spirit that you have in you, the Holy Spirit, is the real you. I need you to get this, okay? When you were born with what the Bible calls a corruptible spirit. It was a spirit that was born into the fall of Adam and Eve. It was born as a corruptible spirit. When you die, the only thing that continues going is the spirit, okay? But the spirit that you once had, now as a believer, has been grafted with God's spirit. So, as a believer, this is very, very powerful if you get this. The spirit that is within you right now, number one, is completely perfect and is the real you. The real you, okay? Scripture says in James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, can't live without a spirit. In Genesis, when God formed Adam, Adam wasn't alive until he breathed, and that word breathe in Hebrew is spirit, into him, and he came alive. We don't live without a spirit, guys, all right? But the spirit you have now is a perfect spirit, and that's who you really are. Because all of this flesh and your thinking and all that stuff, that's going to rot away in a grave or whatever the case may be, but your spirit is going to live on for eternity. Are you with me? So it says, so faith without works is also dead. In other words, let's take the word faith and use the word belief. Are you with me? My belief, if I don't put it into action, it's dead. So, again, to activate something, you must act on what you believe. Otherwise, it's just a dead belief. Make sense? Okay. Now, Nathan, can you put on, I got a little demonstration here, a little visual aid, if you will, of like a target. When you get it on, Nathan, can you just dim some of the lights or all the lights? I don't need it to look at my notes or anything. And I just want to use this visual aid or this demonstration to just kind of help solidify what we're looking at. Can everybody see that target right there?
Yes.
Okay. You notice the center part of it, which we call the bullseye, is the spirit. Okay. So I just direct your, if you can turn that camera so it's seeing the thing and zoom up on it so people watching on Facebook can see it. If you look at this, it's three rings. We're tripartite. We're three parts, right? We have our spirit, which is God's spirit as a believer. We have our soul. This will lay it out as our mind, will, and emotions. A lot of people question that. Just look, focus on the word soul. And then the spirit, which is the inner part of us. And ours is whose? God's spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Now, majority rules, guys. So this is what happens. When you're activating those things that are contrary to the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you're aligning your soul with the body. And that is the work of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? So when you're stepping out in the idea or the mindset that I'm depressed, or if you've got these lustful issues or all this other stuff that may take place, you've joined your soul, the center part, with your flesh, the body. And that takes now the avenue of not walking as you should as a Christian. But the spirit, which is, we have God's spirit, majority rules. The spirit that aligns with the soul now activates and you're walking in the fruit of the spirit or the characteristics of God. So anytime you find yourself where you're doing things that you really wish you couldn't do, you guys remember Paul says, why do I do the things that I don't want to do and I do the things that I should don't do or whatever. You guys with me? It's the battle between spirit and soul or soul and body. And so us having a perfect spirit, as soon as we align that with the soul, the body follows. But if we totally negate the spirit of God in us and we align the soul with the body, then the body's going to follow the soulish realm versus the spiritual realm. Are you with me? Okay. I've said, are you with me enough today? Because I'm hoping that you really are with me. Okay. You can go ahead and turn the lights on and you can shut this down. Again, I must reiterate this. You have to first declare that there are certain things that you can't do in your own. Because when you're working in your own, you're working in the soul and body realm. Because the Spirit of God is the spirit realm. And when you declare, you know what, Lord, I need this to work in my life, now you're able to align that and everything else follows. You got a problem opening your mouth and saying things that you shouldn't say? Well, you're not living out through the spirit. You're living out through your soulish realm, which leads to flesh, which is corruption. But when you sow things out of the spirit realm, everything else aligns, and now you're sowing everlasting life, according to Galatians 6:10, right? Or 6:9. Anyways, that's my close. That's where I want to leave us with. But we're in a new year right now, guys. And as a body, we're always trying to get better, right? We know. If you've been here any time at all, you're saved by the faith that you have through Jesus Christ, by grace, okay? You know that, right? You know that God loves you. You must understand that there's just something we have to do in order to activate it. I was telling somebody the other day, you know what? I think the only time I'm not willing or wanting to move in the Spirit is the times that I'm lazy. You see, but sometimes we have to do like an evaluation of ourselves. Okay, when I'm not doing this, if I didn't prepare food to eat so that I can eat right, I only didn't prepare it because I was lazy, guys. Right? I'm okay with saying I'm lazy at times because God loves me still. Do you understand what I'm saying? So admit some of these shortcomings you have, because these shortcomings, your weakness, He's strong. That's when you rely on Him so that He can now be forefront in your mind and thought. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You, Lord, for giving us the ability to look, see, and read the instruction book that You've gave us. Father, I thank You that we can activate everything that You've given us. I thank You that You bless us with healings. You bless us with Your manifestation of gifts, Father. And Father, You're not calling those that are equipped. You're equipping those that are called. And Father, You're not calling the qualified, but You're qualifying those who are called. Father, I thank You that this is a body filled with equipped and qualified children for You, Lord. Father, as we walk out this week, I thank You that You bless each and every one that is here. I thank You, Lord, that we surrender fully to You. I thank You that when we surrender to You, the devil flees. We give no part, no conscious mindset to the devil. We focus on You, Lord. I thank You, God, that when we are weak, You are strong. Father, I thank You that we have the ability to release the love You've given us and to activate the right belief in our life. And Father, Your word says when we believe right, there is no law against it. I thank You, Lord, that we are under Your law through right living, right understanding. Father, bless each and every one that's here. Keep them and their families safe and free from harm. And Father, if there is anyone listening or here that does not know You as Lord and Savior, I pray that they would make that decision to surrender their lives to You and find great power and peace in the midst. In Jesus' glorious name, amen. God bless you.